is that time of the month. It's time for the supervisors meeting. It's District 2 and Chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Tim Humphrey, with his community meeting on the radio. And you can take part as long as you've got anything resembling a telephone. Just dial 888-876-5593. That's 8888-ROLLYE. All right, Tim, how are you?
I'm good. But as of last Tuesday, I am no longer chairman of the board.
What?
Of supervisors.
What happened?
Well, what we did is when Supervisor Martin, Supervisor Klein, and I were supervisors, when Supervisor Klein and I first got elected, we decided that each supervisor would be chairman of the board for 16 months.
Okay.
So that carries us through the 4 years, and we've been doing that. And so then we got a new supervisor, Supervisor Christensen. And so as of Tuesday, it had been my 16 months.
Okay.
And so there was a motion made before the board for Supervisor Klein to be chairman of the board and Supervisor Christensen to be vice chair. And so that just makes me a regular supervisor for a while.
Well,
and it's kind of nice to step back, because in my 16 months we've been through a pandemic, we've been through fires, we've been floods, we've had evacuation centers evacuated, and when you're chairman of the board in emergency status, you make decisions for the board.
Sure.
So I mean, the meetings and the things that went on, so yeah, it's been a whirlwind of 16 months. So I'm kind of happy to just kind of set back and go along with my regular meetings.
And, of course, District 2, that's right here. But speaking of that, do we have the redistricting done?
We do. Also, on Tuesday, the supervisors, and as chairman of the board, I can't make motions. As the chairman of the board, you can second motions, but you can't make a motion.
Okay.
And so, anyway, or I would have made a motion to have the chairs a little different, but anyway, I would have made a motion for a different map than what was accepted, and the one that was accepted was the best map percentage wise. So when we started, we were at 9.something%, and we needed to get, you know, zero would be the goal, where all the supervisors have the same amount of people that they represent.
Right.
And so the map that was chosen ended up to be 1.29%, which was the best map for the numbers. But I would have chosen another map had I been able to make a motion and try for a second. But what that ended up doing is, as far as the northern part of Gila County goes, Supervisor Christensen, District 1, he gave up two precincts, which was Zane Gray and, Zane Gray and Whispering Pines. So Zane Gray and Whispering Pines went from District 1 to District 3. They're now with Supervisor Klein. And so what I ended up with is I didn't lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
I still pretty much have my same lines, except I got Globe 8.
Ah.
So Supervisor Klein got two precincts up north, and he lost one down here in Globe. And so that I grew. And so that district, in case you're wondering, runs pretty much from where the big old tire store is, down the highway to the overpass, and then where you can turn right off the middle of the overpass and go west. So all of that west of the road to pretty much about where you're at here is mine. So like Euclid, Hackney, Santee, all those streets that go off the right of the road as you're going into Globe is now my district.
Okay.
And was not before. Kind of like where the Globe Cemetery is.
Sure.
And all of that area in there has now become part of District 2.
Now, so would all of Globe be District 2 now?
No, I believe there's some up, like Hunter Drive, I believe, is still in District 3.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because Supervisor Klein has Hayden and Winkleman, and then he comes up and has San Carlos, and I think he has, I think he also takes in, like, Copper Hills. He takes in Copper Hills. And then the fairgrounds is my district, but like behind the fairgrounds, those homes and stuff behind the fairgrounds, that's in District 3. That's Supervisor Klein's.
So we need new maps.
We do. And I'm sure that the people that got changed are going to be here from the recorder on, you know, who their new supervisor is and things of that nature. And we do need new maps because the state changed quite a bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's going to take a while to get these maps straight. And like I say, mine was pretty easy because I didn't lose anything and I know pretty much what I gained, you know, which is right here in Globe. So that's a good thing. And so now we have all of that behind us.
Good.
Which I'm glad. And lately I've been busy with my meetings and things of that nature. I participated in a NACO Transportation Steering Committee. I'm on a National Transportation Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, in that meeting, they were talking about drones now that fly people, where the motors change. The motors, it'll take off like a helicopter, and then once it gets in the air, then the motors will turn so it goes forward like an airplane. And they're starting to produce and use these in the larger cities because they can transport like four people and the pilot, and they can land on rooftops and things. So they're trying to introduce those to make travel in the metropolitan areas easier and less congested.
Would you get on it?
I don't have any reason
to.
Yeah,
right. Now. Right. Count me out.
I just thought, yeah, okay, let's get about 400 or 500 of them guys buzzing around New York City or something.
Well, right. And let's get a couple years of experience while they do more of the R&D on this. Oh,
but
man.
Anyway, yeah, but anyway, you know, you always wonder where transportation goes. And out here in rural Arizona, you know, some of my comments and some of my input to some of the national committee, you know, I'm way out in the middle of nowhere. We're still horseback and stuff a lot of places and not worrying about drones for transporting packages and people to make the cities less congested.
Right. We have counties where the only accessibility is dirt roads,
yeah,
you know. I mean,
right.
Give
yeah.
me a break.
I
drones,
understand.
Huh? Okay. Well,
wow. Anyway, it's an interesting meeting sometimes. And attended a CAG, Central Arizona Regional Council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on that board, and that's where smaller entities, you know, Globe, Miami, Gila County, there's other county, Payson, Superior, there's small entities. And a lot of times we'll kind of pull our HERF funds and things so we can do bigger projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on a board and we kind of work that around to help these smaller communities do bigger projects, and then we just mm-hmm. trade it out and do around things like that. And I enjoy those meetings because Mayor Gamaros and Mayor of Miami is also on that.
Good.
And so we're able to carpool, and that's good because we get to sit and visit about different things first Friday and things that come up and
mm-hmm.
you know what's going on and what we can do without having to schedule an agenda meeting or something where we've got to, you know, get together to talk about something. So it makes it nice that we can carpool once in a while and catch up on things that are going on. And I chaired two agenda meetings and one Board of Supervisors work session since I was last here. Attended the grand opening for the Tommy Klein Martin Complex in Payson. If you haven't seen it, that's a beautiful building that we built up in Payson. And we spent money down here. We built a new animal shelter and things down here, and then the new building up in Payson. And that is large enough so that Payson courts can do jury trials and jury selection.
Oh, good.
And then they got the recorder in that same office, and they, you know, they've kind of done it to where they kind of put everybody together to make it more convenient for the constituents. And the and people can use that building as well, and it's scheduled through Sherry Grice, which is James Minlove's assistant. He is the county manager. And so if someone like the veterans or somebody has a group of people that they want to get together and have a meeting, now they've got a building up in Payson they can use, as well as the Board of Supervisors office here.
Good.
And we chose to name it the Tommy Klein Martin Complex because she, you know, she was a supervisor for 16 years and did an awful lot in northern Gila County. And then I held the Tonto Basin meeting on May the 3rd. I held a Gaisela community meeting on May the 7th. Held a Roosevelt meeting today at 1. And now I'm here on your radio station. So I like to reach out and get in front of the public and see what's up and give people the opportunity to reach out to me if they feel the need to.
Yeah, and this is the opportunity. You don't have to go to a meeting. You don't have to leave the house. You just have to pick up the phone. Now, a lot of people attend these other meetings. That I know for a fact. And you don't even call. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. And yes, I even pay for the call. So there's no excuse.
Right. And we're working together, like I said, carpool with the mayor. And we talked. You know, here we are coming up on monsoons here in a couple months again with our creeks and our flooding and things of that nature. And so we're working here maybe on the first of, not the first day of June, but about the first week or so of June. We're trying to get a meeting together to kind of go over, have the Forest Service there with kind of what's going on with the Forest Service. We're going to have probably Mayor Gomeros and also Sammy, the mayor of Miami. And then, you know, we'll be there at the county to go over some of the projects that we've been working on in the creeks as far as design to make a better flow. Maybe some information on the Russell Gulch Road, because we've been working on an awful lot of things. And we haven't had a public meeting, and it's maybe we got a call.
Yeah, could be.
And we haven't had a public meeting on it because a lot of these designs are at a low percentage of being completed. So so we really don't know. A lot of these projects that are coming off the mountain with like Ice House Canyon, Six Shooter Canyon, Russell Gulch, Bloody Tanks, those are in design now. And when we get in these creeks, there's a lot of areas where there's a lot of private property. And so not only are we working on a design, but once we kind of get a design, then we have to get with people and see what access we have. Like Six Shooter, for instance, you know, there's a lot of private property on Six Shooter.
Sure.
And, you know, they don't want us to take out any trees and things of that nature. And that's their right. It's their private property.
Absolutely.
And so, once we get a design of what we would like to do, what we would feel would carry the water the best, well, then we're looking for permission and easements and things of that nature to be able to go in and work. So a lot of our designing is at an early stage, and so as we get further along with that, we'll be happy to have public meetings and let them know what we're doing and where, but a lot of it right now has just been in design and contacting the property owners and seeing about access and things of that nature.
Oh, sure. And even though there haven't been any fires yet, and we don't know what the fire season will bring, last year is such that the effects will be for several years to come.
Oh, yeah.
So we have John Dreyer who's joining us from Tonto Basin. So, John, I'm so glad you called. Welcome to the Tim Humphrey Community Meeting.
Raleigh, I couldn't stand it. No, this is a good program, and I want Tim to know he does a good job. I'm really satisfied with him and with them. With the labor pool in Tonto Basin, and he's short a guy on the crew, you know what? Mark Klein does a hell of a good job. So congratulations to Tim Humphrey and Mark Klein and Raleigh James, who got the transponder fixed.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm liking it, and I've been here a long time, and I think Tim is just kicking ass in the right direction.
Well, that's terrific, well, John. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for that.
I just couldn't stand not calling.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
how nice.
And for those of you that weren't at my Tonneau Basin meeting, the Tonneau Bridge is with ADOT and out for bid on their website. And so I think it's out for bid until, I think it's July, I believe. And so anyway, but the Tonneau Bridge is out for bid. So it is moving forward. And so that's a good thing.
You know, hearing from John reminded me, we're having our little crisis here. We have a red-tailed hawk who decided to nest in our AM tower. And the federal government has decided that the red-tailed hawk will stay there until the babies are completely gone. So on the AM, we're down to 72 watts and because this is the world's first hawk to ground her nest. She has taken part of the ground system, connected the guy wires to the tower, and shorted out the transmitter. And,
wow.
Yeah,
educated
right.
Bird.
Well, it was. Yes, it was very, very industrious. And so it is that 72 watts on the AM. However, the FM translator for KJAA at 106.1 is still in full operation, but on the AM, if you're not hearing it as well as you were, it's because we have a red-tailed hawk. And the federal government doesn't care. They say, your radio station, that's too bad. The birds stay. Yeah.
Well, she's very lucky if she grounded out that she didn't fry herself.
Well, I was hoping, actually. I figured, all right, it'll be a hawk dinner. But no, she's very careful. And from what I understand, that these protected chicks, when they leave, they jump to the ground. Now, that's a 65-foot fall. I guess their bones are made out of rubber bands, but they survive it. And then they walk around for a week, and then they finally leave, and then we can find somebody to climb the tower and get rid of the nest. But they told us we can't even move a twig until they're all gone.
Wow. And put a sign up, no birds next year.
Well, see, that's the thing I'm a little worried about, because you know, they like to come back to the same nest. And, yeah, of course, we'll get rid of this nest. There will be no remnants of it. It will be gone, gone, gone. But there are 5 levels on that tower. So I guess 65 feet, we were lucky. That thing could have been at 110.
Oh,
but we don't know about how to keep her away next time. I mean, you know, short of shooting them, and you're not allowed to shoot them.
No. Well, that's a difficult deal.
You know, yeah.
When a hawk can shut down your whole operation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've talked to other broadcasters like, yeah, man, we've been down with that. And God forbid you get a bald eagle.
Here we're working on broadband to get everybody in touch, and a bird can just...
Well, that happens on a lot of cell towers.
I bet.
This is... I was looking through all the literature, and cell towers are plagued with this issue.
I'll be doing. Yeah, but that's a tough deal. But yeah, we're just going along business as usual. Like I say, I'm glad to kind of step down a little while from being chairman through all of our last 16 months of things. But, you know, my hat's off to staff, because we made it through. You know, a lot of it wasn't with flying colors, but, you know, when the health department gets national recognition for what they do, evacuation centers got evacuated and no one got hurt. And,
right.
And in all the things going on, it was bad. But it could have been a whole lot worse. And so, you know, I'm very grateful for staff and the community for pulling together and work through that. And like I say, we're working to try to make things a little better this coming year. Whether we'll get into any construction projects before monsoon starts just depends on design and access.
Sure.
Mostly. But that we're working on, as well as other things. And so we get this behind us, then we can get more back like on composting projects and things of that I want to do instead of all these other things
that we have to do to keep
everything sewn together and moving forward.
Yeah.
But like I say, we're working with the Town of Globe and Town of Miami to get together and do a public meeting to where Forest Service is there and everybody's there, so we can kind of let the people know what kind is going on. And you know, it's great for me too, because growing up here, I don't ever remember a meeting with both mayors and the supervisor all in the same building.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm glad that we have that working relationship for the community, because it just makes things better when we can sit down and talk to each other and work things up and
sure.
work on projects going forward.
Well, finally, it's good news from TRSD. I understand they're sending out the letter to Phase 1 residential owners in terms of rooting the new sewer system. So after all these long years, it looks like it's really underway.
I hope so. I've worked with them. I've been to Washington lobbying. I've just done all I can, and I know there's people that don't want it, but I don't know for the reasons that they don't want it, because for our community, for infrastructure,
we have to have this.
There's a lot of homes that no one lives in because they can't use the facility there.
Right.
And when you look at how old some of these properties are, there are cesspools that are bad. There are septic tanks that are old. And, you know, they're not designed to work for a million years. They're really not.
Well, and most of the land couldn't have a septic with today's rulings because the land's too small. When the cesspool fails, other than breaking the law, you got to leave.
Or a very, very, very expensive above-ground system.
Well,
and that takes a certain amount of room as well.
Exactly.
You can't do that just on a side lot. So, and at some point in time, I'm going to get with Michael O'Driscoll, because I've had some meetings with him, and get him to kind of communicate with the public on the health side of some of the issues that we have with some of the septics and cesspools and things of that nature in this area. So, yeah, and our groundwater, you know.
Sure.
No one really knows for sure what it's doing to the groundwater.
Well, the thing we know for sure, though, is even people, and I understand that people who have not been having to pay a sewer bill don't want to, and they see what the rates have been in Miami, and they are egregiously high for a lot of reasons. But the other side of that is that if you're ever planning to sell that house, you will not be able to sell it in the condition that it's in. You're going to need, unless you spend a fortune to upgrade yourself, you're going to need a city facility.
Well, and if you can't spend $50 or $60 a month for a sewer bill, can you go buy a new house when yours quits?
Well, see, that's the point. And I understand that there are people in Miami who cannot afford that bill. And there's a lot of late pays. Because when it comes down to I'm buying my medicine or I'm paying my sewer bill, guess what wins?
Correct.
But this is not a case of really a choice. And that's what I think people don't see. And I understand they can opt out. But of course, if they do opt out, then if they need to connect later, it is 100% at their own expense.
It is, because going in, there is no expense because of the colonial.
Right.
And so, the demolition of whatever system they have and hook up to the pipes in the street is free.
Right, and if they don't do it now, it will not be free.
No.
And that's something I understand. There are people who are going to say, I just can't afford the $50 a month or whatever they're afraid it might be, and it might be. But they're not going to be able to afford to hook up when their system fails.
Right.
Because that can be thousands of dollars.
Well, then they have to demo their own, and then they have to pay for the tap. And the tap is what's gotten real expensive because you know, if you don't tie in on the original, and then you're going to come in, you have to be very careful about what you're contaminating when you open a live line.
Of course.
To tap into that live line, so all of that's in a nutshell. So yes, that's something I'm working towards. I think I think it's very necessary for infrastructure, for new growth, for homes. Everybody knows we have a home shortage. If once that's in, all of those homes that nobody can live in can automatically be torn down and put into a nice little new house or a duplex, or you know, there's a number of things that that can happen once we get that on its way. And I, you know, and there's still room to work with Global Miami on phase two and phase three on putting plumbing in the ground, as far as working with the town of Miami and the city of Globe with their mayor and councils and Tri-City to work things out. And it's like, okay, you know, if we can run some Fluent your way, let's sit down and work it out.
Right.
And if we can't, we've got the money for the pipe. We're going to go ahead and put the pipeline in phase two and not. So, you know, that's why I say I'm glad that we're a community where, you know, the supervisor can sit with the mayors and talk. And we proved that when they figured the DMAs for Tri-City, mm-hmm. City of Globe and Town of Miami. Everybody sit down at the same table and figure out where your lines need to be and where your lines are and go forward. And, you know, we've been through that. And it's like anything new. Is there going to be a lot of problems? You bet. Is there going to be things that are going to come up that aren't really foreseen going in? You bet. But that's how things happen. Imagine getting on a wagon and going out west a long time ago. You know, if you tried to get a paved road before you left in a Ferrari, you'd have never gone.
Well, right.
You know, you just got to saddle up and go, and whatever it takes to get there, it'll be better in the end.
You know,
and that's my two cents on that subject.
And it seems like the current board and the attorney, they've moved so much in the last year compared to what had gone in the last decade,
right,
that it's very hopeful that this will be come to fruition.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah,
I'm hoping so.
So anything else?
No, Raleigh, that's about all I brought. And I just try to bring some information. And if anybody's curious about something or want me to bring something to the radio because you won't call in, let me know and I'll make a list and I'll do some looking into the subject and I will bring that subject to the radio for you. I don't mind at all.
No, that's perfect. And of course, Tim's contact number and his assistant's contact number are all at kqss.net, along with every meeting. This meeting will be there as well, and it will also replay on Sunday morning on KJAA. So plenty of chances to hear it or to share it with your friends, and by all means, be in touch. And we'll do it again next month.
Okay, Raleigh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye-bye.
KQSS Miami.